G'day, Groovers. Welcome to another installment of the U Project for the 550th. That's right, 550th time. Can you believe that, Tiff?
I cannot believe it.
And as we get older, I think both of us are getting smarter because we're talking to all these smart people.
I'm definitely getting smarter. Definitely.
Do you think?
Yeah.
How old are you? You're 39 or 8.
38, thank you very much.
38. No, you don't look a day over 37. Do you reckon you're smarter at 38 than you were at 28?
100%.
What were you doing at 28 that made you such a dumbass?
Just getting punched in the face. Actually, yeah. I wasn't at 28. That wasn't until I was 29. But, you know, when I started podcasting and sitting in on conversations like this, within 3 months I'd started raving about how much I'd learned and how much my world had changed. Like, it's undeniable.
I reckon podcast hosts, it's the biggest scam ever because we get to meet cool people that we wouldn't otherwise meet who are smarter than both of us and we can learn from them without paying them. How good is that? And then all our listeners get to tune in.
And then we call them our friends. Well, I do anyway.
Well, this bloke is, you know, an unproven commodity at this point in time. He could be a complete dumbass. We'll see. I definitely don't think that's the case. I apologise, Eric. How are you?
I'm good. Well, listen, Craig, you're going to get what you paid for, which is nothing. So we're going to be all right, man.
It's good to see that the product will be commensurate with the pay.
I have to say, I'm intrigued already. The fact that you just threw out her age so nonchalantly, like here, it's a crime. You can't do that in Los Angeles. I don't know anybody's age because everybody's trying to play younger. Like if you ask somebody their age in Los Angeles, how old are you? They're like, oh, I play 18 to 27. You never get like a direct answer. And you guys just right from the get go, like, so you're 39, right? Is that,
well,
how do you feel being, what?
That is a good point. That is a good point. And I think it depends if there's a level of familiarity, but I think, well, dudes don't care. Dudes don't give, well, maybe some do. I give zero fucks. I'm 57. I talk about it all the time. Tiff, do you care?
No, I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly I look amazing, so.
Yeah, fucking amazing. You're breathtaking. You look 17 and a half. You idiot. Yeah, I don't know, Eric. I'm with you, though. I do understand that, but you do need to with some people. You know, when you ask some people something like, you know, how old are you or, you know, where do you work or like a fundamental question and it's like you've just asked them the meaning of life. I'm like, it's not that complicated.
Oh, yeah. Now, everybody, I think it's social media. Everybody wants to give you their philosophy on something, on a simple question like, oh, what are you doing for lunch? Well, let me tell you what I've learned. And it's like, no, just are you having a sandwich?
But right now, I don't know if it's driven at all by the pandemic or if it's influenced in any way, but it seems like people more and more want a platform. Mm-hmm. And you know, for better or worse, I mean, people bitch about social media and people bitch about the use of computers and the internet. And like for me, ultimately, it's a resource that we can use that you can create good stuff or bad stuff. Like if it wasn't for the internet, if it wasn't for these platforms, we wouldn't be doing this. We wouldn't have a brand in this space. We wouldn't have a business. We have about 10,000 listeners a day. We've built a really nice little community. We're growing. We get to connect with people like you. I think for the most part, if you use it the right way, it's a positive, you know?
Yeah, that's like anything else. There's good and bad. It all depends on how you use it. Like, yeah, the internet is good. Like it was invented to get us information, but then some jackass was like, well, I wonder if I could see nudes. And all of a sudden, I wonder if I could buy goats. And like now it's become this thing where you're just like, you know, this is not what it was for. It was the people that invented it for this. Like Steve Jobs invented the iPhone. And in his head, he's like, I'm going to give people the information on their hand. And here we are on the toilet scrolling, watching people fall.
Yeah.
Or now the new thing, I don't know if it's hit Australia, the crate challenge where people are walking on milk crates and almost dying. Like, I'm sure Steve Jobs did not envision that when he invented iMac and iPads and iPhones.
100%. And I don't know if you follow Snoop, but Snoop Dogg, literally every one of the things that he posts on Instagram at the moment is some collection of morons trying to, what it is, have a look, folks just go the milk crate challenge or whatever it is. So they build like almost, it's almost like a stairway or a pyramid of milk crates that they've got to walk to the top of. And have you seen it, Tiff?
Yeah, I have.
Fucking.
Oh, it's bad.
Talk about dangerous. Talk about precarious. It's like, nah.
I'm always curious as to who saw like this, because there's a lot of videos now. Who sees these videos and goes, I can do it? Yeah. Like I saw one and I was like, I would never do that. That's crazy.
100%. I'm with you. Like who sees that and go, yeah, yep, that's, yep. Let's build that shit. I'm doing it.
They're doing it wrong. I know the trick. No, you don't. I haven't seen too many successful milk crate challenges. I've seen the bad ones.
100%. Now, mate, how have you – we had a chat before we started rolling, so we gave you a bit of context about what's going on here, but how have you navigated the apocalyptic state that we're now in?
Just like everyone else, man, one day at a time and scrolling and watching dumb videos. I'm one of the people that are using the internet the wrong way.
You're perpetuating the porn industry and the goats, the buying and selling of goats.
Oh yeah, I'm doing it all. I'm trying to find out how to get on the black market. Haven't found out yet, but soon it's going to happen.
Have you been one of those comics that has? I think with mixed success, some people have been doing online comedy. It's a precarious thing. Have you tried any of that?
Yeah, I started the pandemic very anti doing online comedy because it's definitely a different vibe. You know, like we're here now conversing and it's fun, but if I was in studio, it's a different vibe. We can feel each other's energy. You know, same thing with stand up. Like it's different, so it's hard to gauge people's energy. Also, people, you know, have the attention span of mosquitoes, so they get on their computers and they're like, oh, watching this show. Oh, you know what I forgot to do? I forgot to order this thing on Amazon. And then they're gone. Mm. You know, some people don't turn on their cameras or don't turn on their microphones. Then I'm just performing for complete silence. So, you know, those Zoom shows can be brutal. So in the beginning, I was anti them. Then I found a way to do them in a way, you know, I did a couple here and there where it was like more conversational, where it's like, oh, let's do almost like a round table and I could sneak in comedy. But now here in LA, you know, I know we were talking about it there. You guys are in full lockdown, but things have started opening up. So there are some outdoor clubs. So I've been able to go on stage and hear live people who, you know, I don't know if you see what's happening in Los Angeles. A lot of people don't care. So they're just like, mess off. I'm going to go laugh and spread this variant.
I know. It's like no fucks given. There's definitely two distinct groups. The fuck it group and the let's mask up group, but it's the same in Australia. There's pro and there's probably three or four groups, to be honest. And what about, I listen to Rogan a fair bit, as I feel like every second bloke that I know does. And he's been talking with quite a few comics about, you know, kind of ring rust, like, you know, just getting back on and just, you know, writing new stuff in your downtime and trying stuff out and developing stuff, but also having not been on stage or in front of physical three-dimensional humans for a while, did it take a bit of getting used to again?
Yeah, I think there is a little bit of rust. It's not as bad as I think most comedians we've envisioned it to be, because, you know, there has been stretches where, you know, like you go on vacation, so you're not on stage for 2 weeks, then you come back, and everyone else has still been working out. So when you get back, you know, it's almost like when you go to the gym and everyone's working out and everyone's fit and you're the guy that hasn't been working out. It's like, oh, this is bad. Mm. So that feeling, you know, in your head, you're like, oh, that's going to be bad. But here's the thing. We're all going back to the gym. No one's been working out. So we're all at this almost same level. And on top of the audience is more forgiving because they've been cooped up and they want to laugh. So it's not as bad as we picture in our heads, where it's like, I'm going to be the only guy who hasn't been on stage. This audience is used to stand-up comedy. These guys have all been working on their craft. I think it's just been a new experience of, you know, the audiences have to get retrained. We have to retrain. So it hasn't been as bad as I made it out in my head, where it's like, oh, I'm going to be so bad. I'm not going to remember how to do this. You know, yeah, we've muscled through it.
My other job when I'm not doing podcasts, Eric, is a corporate speaking. And so not – you know, similar in that, in front of a live audience, talking to humans in a room, trying to build rapport and connection and understanding and give them a good experience, albeit not with humor, but, you know, whatever information and storytelling. But when I first started doing, so we went into lockdown, I think March last year, and I had probably the same as you. I had all this work planned and booked for 2020, which all fell over, as did most people who do what, you know, we do, which is be on a stage and talk to audiences. But and then it, then we started to transition to online stuff. But I'm the same as you. When I first started, and I hadn't figured out basically how to manage my audience, where you would have, you know, 36 little cubes on your computer screen and 35 of them were black.
Or
you literally, I did one recently, which was for a company that for whatever reason, they could see me. So this is a live gig, an hour and a half, a workshop, you know, paid normal gig. And I've got to be interesting, funny. I've got to connect with them. I've got to be a bit inspiring. Great stories, great information. Don't fuck up. Talk for an hour and a half. And there was no feedback. So there was no faces and no audio. And it was literally like talking to that fucking soundproofing black shit behind me on the wall. It was like staring at that for an hour and a half. It was the hardest gig I've ever done, because you don't, I mean, you do realize, but in that moment where there's no feedback whatsoever, you've got no idea how you're going.
Oh yeah, it's brutal, especially if you're used to that immediate feedback. You're used to, oh, I usually get a laugh here, or I usually get some kind of murmur there, and then it's nothing. You're almost to the point where you're just like, why am I doing this to myself? I had a couple points during the pandemic where I was like, I'm going to go back to school. I start pulling up websites. I'm like, I could get a degree in this. What kind of jobs could I do? That's when you start second guessing everything you're doing.
Do you think that being a creative like you are, that you can within reason open doors to, you know, because you're an actor, you're a stand-up. Do you think that could spill into other creative processes, as if you were so inclined? Do you think that could turn into other things that you enjoyed and perhaps could develop in the creative space?
Well, I did, luckily during the pandemic, I did sell a show. I sold an animated project, which kept me sane because I was writing. I was writing comedy. So I wasn't able to perform, but I did find another outlet for it, and it did keep me busy during all of that. And it helped, because also, you know, during the pandemic, you know, I'm here with my wife and she's working from home and she's just always here. And I say that lovingly. And then
so inconsiderate of her. Do you not say, have you got something to do?
She's just, oh, Craig, I didn't think she's gonna always be around. Like, she's
I know, right? Like,
And then also we've got two kids. So I was doing virtual learning. I was losing my mind. So thankfully I had sold that project, and that kept me sane, of being able to have that outlet for comedy, also giving me some kind of purpose. Not that being a husband and a father isn't purpose, but you know, when you're doing something you love and all of a sudden that's taken from you, you're like, I'm a nanny now. Like what am I doing?
Oh, dude, don't you just got in trouble? You're not a fucking nanny, you're a dad.
No, but you know what I mean? Like that's not – before I was a dad, before I was a husband, I was a comedian. So that has always been the constant, and then that's taken from you. And you're those other things, but that one constant thing that you – that's how your wife met you. That's why she fell in love, because it was funny. Like, now it's all gone, and now I'm wiping boogers and making lunches. Like, it's changed. You know, she's not going to see this because she does not download podcasts.
You just dug a hole for yourself, dude. That's okay. No, that's good. How old are your kids?
I got an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old.
And what kind of dad are you?
I'm better than my dad because I'm around and I play with them. So yeah, look at that.
So did you grow up in a, I hate asking cliche questions, but I'm actually interested. Did you grow up around funny people, or were you the fucking outlier?
So no, I was actually the shy person. Like, I never really did much. Like, we grew up very religious. So we started off as Jehovah's Witnesses.
Wow.
And then from there, we became Pentecostal Christian. I was at church like 3 to 4 times a week. I didn't watch a lot of like TV or movies during that period of time. Didn't listen to a lot of music. So, because it was very like, my mom was like, oh, no secular music, no secular television or movies in the house. So I was just a very reserved person. And then I didn't start doing stand-up or really get into stand-up until I hit college. You know, It was one of those things where all my other friends were going away. They're like, we're going to Miami, we're going to Indiana, we're going to UCLA. And I was like, oh, I want to go away. And my mom was like, you're not going away. No.
Really?
She was trying to sell me on a college that was 2 blocks from the house. Mm. She's like, why don't you go there and we can have lunch every day? I was like, I'd rather not.
Yeah. Hang on, let me think. No.
That's not going to make me cool. No. So what I ended up going into New York City. Like, we lived about 30, 40 minutes outside of the city. And to them, it was like the city was the devil. You don't go to the city. That's where all the bad stuff happens. The drugs, the killings, the alcohol. You don't go to the city.
And the sex, dude.
It's
the premarital, the fornication, bro. Come on.
As soon as you get into the city, you get stabbed, a gram, and fornicate all at once. It all happens as soon as you cross into the city.
That's it, pretty much. Yeah, by dinner time.
So I ended up saying, all right, fine. I'm going to apply to these colleges in the city. And I got accepted, and I was like, I'm going there. And they weren't happy, but they couldn't put up too much of a protest because they wanted me to go to college. So it was, since you don't want me to go away, this is where I'm going.
Yeah.
And that's sort of where I found stand-up comedy. You know, it was like there was clubs. They were constantly giving free tickets, and I was just at the clubs all the time.
What did you study at college?
Communications, which I don't know if you guys have the equivalent. It means nothing. I'm sorry to your listeners if they have communications degree. They actually they printed an article in our school newspaper that said, oh, communication program's a joke here. And it's like, wait, what? I'm paying for this. I knew it was bad when I went to go talk to the counselor. I was like, hey, I saw this article. Just curious as to what advice you could give me. And she just kept telling me, like, you're so flexible with communications. I was like, yeah, but if I go up and try to get a job in advertising, wouldn't somebody with an advertising degree beat me out? Yeah, but you'll land on your feet because you're so flexible. I was like, wait, what? I don't want flexibility. I want a job. I want some kind of stability. Hence, 100%. Stand-up comedy.
Also, you're flexible, irrespective of the degree, right? I was flexible before I came.
Exactly.
You know.
So, college is where I found stand-up comedy. I fell in love with the art form, and it was one of those things. I had always known I wanted to perform. Like, I tried out for the high school drama club, and I did some performances at church. But it was one of those things where arts were frowned upon, and it was like, no, you're not performing. How dare you? That's not a real job. You gotta be, something with your hands, or because my parents would lay on that immigrant guilt. Like, we came to this country, we worked these awful jobs. You're gonna be a doctor. You're gonna be a lawyer. You're gonna be something amazing. And I showed them, Craig.
Look at you, bro. Look at you. You've killed it. No, you're going well, man. What about this one, rocking up in 2021 and mum's a surgeon and dad's a lawyer, and you say, I want to be a fucking social media influencer, or I want to be an Insta model. And
that's what I got to prep for with my kids. Like, now I'm the shoes on the phone. Like, I hope they're doctors and lawyers. And one day they can be like, Dad, I'm going to be a TikTok star. I'm like, oh my God.
TikTok will be in the history books by the time your kids are ready to work. But
or I'm glad I have boys, because I'll never have to hear, Dad, I just opened up my OnlyFans page. Oh boy, listen.
That's what you need, Tiff. You need an OnlyFans page.
Definitely not what I need.
And just for your feet.
Definitely not.
I know a girl who's got a fans or an OnlyFans or whatever you call it, and she just shows her feet. Well, I don't know her.
Is that because you've
she works on one of the podcasts I listen to, but. I'm like, and the whole deal is, and she's got like hundreds of thousands of whatever, and she makes a fortune showing creepy dudes her feet. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe there's something in that. You'll think about it. Maybe just your left elbow. or maybe nothing. Forget that. Oh, hilarious. Mate, what year, you and I have a similar path. I grew up in a very churchy environment also. Mm-hmm. So, but mine started out, you started in, did you say Seventh-day Adventist?
No, I was Jehovah's Witness at first, and then we Pentecostal. Were Pentecostal Christian. We went both extremes.
Yeah, well, I started in Catholicism. That's what I was born in, which is very, you know, traditional. You know, mm-hmm. It's almost like a club. Mm-hmm. And then ended up in Pentecostal Christianity as well. How old? What years were you in there in terms of your age?
So Jehovah's Witness, I think we were there from, say, I was 2, maybe 3 years old till, I want to say, about second grade.
Right.
Which is, my son's 8, so about 8. And yeah. Then we went over Pentecostal Christian from 9 till high school, until I decided to get a job and take all the Sunday shifts. Mm. I was working at a pharmacy. And they were like, who wants to work Sundays? And I was like, right here.
Yeah,
I'll take them all.
This guy.
Yep. And then I blamed it on them. My mom was like, wait, you're not going to church? I was like, oh, I can't. I'm the new guy. They told me I could only the Sundays. That's them. Yeah. Those sons of.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, God opened this door, Mom. We need to recognize that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know? I told them, I was like, let me just do like a week or two. And then once I have some, you know, some recognition there, I'll tell them not to put me on Sundays anymore.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, that's not happening. In terms of your comedy and your writing, like the series, do you have a specific process or is it organic and freestyle? Do you sit at your computer with a blank screen and go, right, I'm going to sit here for 3 hours and see what happens? Or do you just jot down inspiration as it comes and then work on it or something else?
Craig, do you have kids? I love that you're like, do I sit at my computer for 3 hours? I'm lucky if I get 3 minutes. I go to the bathroom, they're knocking on the door, and I see their little fingers under the door. Dad, what are you doing in there? No.
That's a good point. Clearly, I don't have kids. So that was a stupid question. All right, here's a better question. What's your writing process? I won't preempt it in any way.
So for me, I get up I try to get up most mornings to go for a run in the morning. That's, you know, before they're up, before anybody's up. And that's usually my time to clear my thoughts, you know, get my thoughts in order. And then most of the time it's from whatever happened to me in life. So, you know, I store it away, I run, I start thinking about it, I start talking it out loud in my head. And then I write that down, depending on, you know, if I think there's something there or not, you know, because sometimes things will happen. I'll go, oh, that's funny. And I'll try to work it out and then try it out on stage. And it's not funny. The audience lets you know right away. Mm-hmm. No, we didn't appreciate that at all. Or, you know, if I do have something, a little chuckle or something, okay, now there's something there. And then that for the next couple days or weeks, I start working on that and trying to build that story out.
I guess that's the good and bad of comedy is that you get instant feedback, right? You don't, you're not left wondering, you know, they're either into it or they're not into it. Or it's like you said, maybe you realize there's something there that, yeah, I can develop this. It's not there, but if I develop it, it might be there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely, you know, that's why the Zoom shows don't work. Cause you need that feedback for them to let you know, like, oh, this isn't good. Or you get that little, like, you know, now, most recently I started talking about buying a house. Like, we bought this house we live in. And when you say that, it's not funny, but now I got to find that funny in there or what I think is funny. Like, just going through the process of, you know, with the real estate agent or going to the bank to tell me if I can afford a loan. And, you know, during the pandemic, my job didn't exist. So watching that woman look at me very confused, like, wait, what do you do?
Yeah.
For a living?
Yeah.
What did you do? Do you have any income for this year? No, ma'am. But you're.
Yeah.
I'd like to borrow money to buy a house.
Yeah. You do comedy. Nice. But what's your job, though?
Yeah. That's a cute hobby. But what do you really do?
Yeah, exactly. What's your career, bro? Tell us about, again, I hate to be cliche, but it's a pretty big deal being on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Terrifying, exhilarating, fucking, what was it?
You know what's so funny? Most comedians will tell you they were so nervous leading up to it. I was not. And it's because my wife decided she was going to stress out leading up to this. So I went into husband mode of trying to calm her down.
Wow.
She got stressed out like she was going to perform. Mm. You know, we are getting ready that day. And I was like, all right, I got to get my suit and get my shirt. And I look over and she's like, oh, how do I look in this outfit? What are these earrings, this earring, this earring. And I'm like, oh my God. Like I started getting nervous for her. I was like, are you okay? Yeah. Do that with your hair. And the whole, she's like, oh my, I'm sweating. I'm so nervous. I was like, all right, relax. Calm. Like I'm calming her down the whole time.
Yeah.
To the point where we finally get to the show. I'm in the green room and the producers come in like, hey, how you feeling? I'm like, I'm good. They're like, okay. Any questions? Like, that seems pretty straightforward. And they automatically walk right over to my manager and they're like, hey, is he okay? Because we've never had anyone this calm. And she's like, yeah, he should be fine. And sure enough, like if you watch the clip, when I first come out, I almost let out like a woo. Like that's when it finally hit me like, oh my God, we're doing this.
Yeah.
So leading up to it, I was just in husband mode, just, all right, babe, calm down. You're going to be fine out there. Like she was about to make her national TV debut.
Isn't it funny how, like, we talk a lot on this show about this thing, Eric, called metacognition, which is essentially thinking about thinking. And it's funny how situation, circumstance, environment, context influence the way that you self-manage. Like, how long was your, was it 3 minutes, your bit, your?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. So you got five minutes, right? For you to walk into any club and do 5 minutes, you could do it like in your sleep, you know, especially with material you're familiar with. But when it's the same guy, the same dude doing the same thing, comedy for 5 minutes, stuff you've done over and over, stuff you're familiar with, stuff you know is going to land, blah, blah, blah. Then you go, but you're not doing it in front of 30 people at this club or 100 people or 1,000 people. You're doing it on this TV show with these lights and cameramen and directors and producers and Jay Leno and Reddy. And all of a sudden, it's a very different experience. So
oh, yeah.
How did you feel it went?
I felt it went well. I will say it's so funny. You know, if you put me in a club and you tell me, hey, go do 5 minutes. Like you said, it's not a thing. I'm not even thinking about it. There's no nerves. That was the first time, like, I couldn't, like, I can usually see the jokes or the stories in my head. And that was the first time I couldn't see anything. It was just almost like, just, I was going through the motion and it was just autopilot. They were coming out. And luckily, the right words came out and I did the set. But, like, that was the first time I couldn't see what the next word was, what this next story was. I couldn't see it. Like, I was just, the nerves had kicked in, like, the adrenaline kicked in and I was just like, here we go.
But you know what's interesting is if from neuroscience and a neuropsych point of view, what's happening in your body and what's happening in your mind and what's happening with your nervous system and how that impacts on performance and execution of skills and calmness and awareness is that if the following week you went back and did another 5 minutes and then the following week and then the following week and Jay Leno thought you were great and you killed it and you and him got on well and you had a beer or an orange juice or whatever post-gig, by the time you got to the 10th time doing the same thing in the same place, your arousal would be in the right place and your nerves would be down and your performance would, because it's about managing your nervous system. And it's just a conditioning thing. But, you know, that's like for many comics, that's, or for most comics, we'll never get to do that, of course.
Oh, but, I'm sure Jay Leno on his first show was a nervous wreck. And then by the time he hits, you know,
100%.
Thousandth one, he's like, it's just, it's work. He's clogging and clogging out.
100%. Tell us about TV stuff. What do you like about doing TV?
What do I like about it? Now, are we talking stand-up or are we talking about acting?
So some of the acting that you've done. So I've written down here, so Superior Donuts and Ops Off Script. What else? What am I missing?
That's it. I don't know if you've seen the state of our television. That much diversity. They say they want more brown people on TV, but they don't.
Is that really a thing?
Yes. Have you not seen our show, Friends? It's six white people at a coffee shop. No Puerto Ricans, no Dominicans, no black people in New York City. That's crazy. Not, come on.
It's, yeah, that's
come
true.
On. It's insane.
That's true.
So What I like about acting, when you do get to work, it's fun to, work out those muscles, and you get to see, almost, I think every comedian has that everybody loves Raymond or Seinfeld dream. They want to have their own show, so you get to see how it's done. And you get to hang out with people and meet new people. Like, luckily, the last one I did was Superior Donuts, where it was a bunch of comedians, so I got to hang out with friends. Like Jermaine Fowler is a friend of mine who came up. We did the comic strip together. I'm blanking on his David Koechner. He's another stand-up comedian that I've seen out in LA, and he's great. So I was hanging out with comedians, which was fun.
I mean, listen to me. I was about to say, why don't you do? Have you thought about doing a podcast? I know there's 18 million podcasts, but have you thought about it?
I've thought about it. It's just, I think I have to find the right thing. Like, I feel like every comedian always goes straight to, like, I'm just going to interview comedians. It's like, and there's a thousand of those. And that gets boring quick, because it's, how many road stories can you listen to that they don't start melding and becoming the same thing?
100%. But I think, I mean, like for you, like you're a complete, like you don't have to, you just need some organization and a bit of a structure and a process, because you could just slip. Like most people who want to do a podcast, no disrespect, there are some great people, but a lot of people who want to do a podcast, at best, it's very clunky for a long while. Like you would hit the ground running if you got a good co-host and
I need
you
a
and he.
Tiffany is what you're saying.
Yeah,
That's what you're
yeah. So
saying. I
tips
need
available. So
a
no, but you'd be great anyway. Listen to me trying to fucking steer your career. So what
I
if
feel
it,
like this show is going to end with Craig offering me a contract. Listen, I'm going to take you under my wing, and I'm going to produce you.
Yeah.
Oh,
We could do that. It's not hard. We could produce you from here for sure. There's some
listen,
people out there.
Australia members really love brown people. We'll actually put you on the air. I'm there. Let's do
Dude,
it, Craig.
we're gonna, yeah, that's it. Have you been here?
I have not.
Come
I've
on,
always
bro.
wanted to go. Like, I know that there was a big comedy festival out there, and I'd always wanted to go. And then pandemic happened, and haven't left my house.
Yeah,
But
Melbourne loves
that's on
comedy.
the.
So there's the Melbourne Comedy Festival, which is a big deal, and there's a whole, I think it's about, Melbourne Comedy Festival runs for maybe 2 weeks, Tiff. Is
Oh
it
wow.
something?
I think so. I always seem to miss it every year. I'm like, I'm
Yeah,
going
no,
to go
it's
to so many shows.
there's a lot of comics from all over the world that come here, and big comics as well. So, yeah, you should. Well, next time it's on, which will be 2046, come out. I'll give you a
I'm
bedroom, and
down.
I'll take you. Come out. You can stay with me, and you can hang out, and I'll take you to all the good restaurants and coffee shops. And yeah, it'd be you'd enjoy it. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, I'm dying to see it. Like, the furthest I've made it out so far is Fiji. And I know you guys are another, what, 4 hours from there?
Yeah, we're maybe six, I think. I'm not sure.
Six?
I'm not
Okay.
sure. So in the next year or two, what do you hope happens, or what are you going to make happen? What are your plans moving forward in terms of developing stuff?
Well, I hope things get under control and I can start touring the country again. Right before everything shut down, I had a 30-city tour with HBO lined up.
Oh,
We
wow.
did the first stop in DC, and then flew home, and then got the phone call like, "Hey, we're shutting it down. The world's shutting down." So hopefully things start opening back up. Like, I know some cities here have opened up and reached out, but when you got two little ones at home and they're not vaccinated, like, yeah, it's an unnecessary gamble for me to go get on a plane, go to these cities like Florida and Texas, and be like, I'm good. I see you guys on the news. It's not good. So I'm hoping stand-up opens back up. And as far as development, I'm constantly writing, hoping to get, the show, whatever vehicle it may be, like Seinfeld did, like Ray Romano did, and get on television and, have a diverse family on the screen.
That'd be good, dude. You know who what's her name that just Miss Pat. Do you know who Miss Pat is?
Yeah, I love Miss Pat. She just got an hour special on Netflix. It was just announced today. And then she's got her own show on BT Plus, which is amazing.
Yeah, she's killing it. And she was I met her in inverted commas. I didn't really, but just got introduced to her, as in, sorry, say that again. Became aware of her about 5 years ago and started following her. And she's kind of, and she must be nearly 50, And she's just really starting to take off now. And she is, oh my God, that woman is, do you know who she is, Tiff?
No.
Fucking out of control funny. Like funny.
And oh, there goes Craig again, throwing out people's ages with no, just, she's 50. Just, I love
how
it,
I roll. It's how I roll. Why have you got an age issue, you 62-year-old fucking comic?
I gotta bring Craig out to LA and just watch him break all these people in LA. How old are you? 48? And just watch them like, wait, what? The Botox? You can see it?
Yeah, I know. I'm not renowned for my diplomacy, so I do get told I'm a little bit blunt. I don't know why people think that. I get told I'm blunt and intimidating, which I think is completely unfair.
I love it. It's very much New York. Like when I first moved out here, it was so funny. Like I'd go to these meetings and people like, he's great, but he's so aggressive and straight to the point. It's like, yes, we're like, why are we BSing? What are we doing? Right to the point.
I get it. But for me, it's if you're 70 and you're ace, we're friends. If you're 25 and you're ace, we're friends. It doesn't, like, none of that stuff matters to me. You know, it's interesting. Anyway, where can people find you and follow you, my friend, and support you and connect with you on your socials, etc.?
Yeah, I got my website up, which I don't think anybody uses websites anymore, but ericrivera.com, ericrivera.com. I'm on all social medias, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Eric, E-R-I-K, Rivera Comedy. Follow me. And like I've been saying this all pandemic, because, you know, interacting with comedians, the way you can help us artists and even you, Craig, like follow us, like our stuff, share it, because that puts us in this thing called the algorithm. And then more people can learn about us and we keep spreading the word and passing it forward.
100%. Well, we'll share all your stuff, mate, with our audience. We'll put links and we will support you. And my only issue with you is you don't have enough issues for a comedian. You're not dysfunctional enough. You're fucking way too.
I didn't know you wanted me to get into the issues. Yeah,
you don't. You're not fucked up enough, and you're too good looking.
Listen,
you're too good. Firstly, you're annoyingly good looking, right? So you should be a fucking model for a start. So you've chosen the wrong career. Secondly, and you know that. Secondly, I don't think you have enough issues. You've got to make something up.
Well, all right. So you want issues? The reason we were Jehovah, the reason we went to Pentecostal Christian is because Dad had a drinking problem.
There we go.
So he was reborn. All right, Craig, you want to get into the issues? I've got dad issues.
There.
That's the reason I over dad sometimes with my kids, because I'm like, my dad didn't love me enough.
There we go.
That's why I cried during the Lion King. Like, listen, Craig, it's all there. I didn't know that's what we were doing. I thought we were having a fun podcast.
That's right. Next time on the You Project, it's the broken Eric Rivera. Part two coming back for all his bullshit and issues and dysfunction next time on the You Project. Mate, just fucking around with you. We appreciate you so much. You're a good man and you are very funny. So thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. No, I appreciate you guys having me on. And I can't wait till this is over and we can see each other in person. I'll come out to Melbourne or you come here and we'll have fun, man.
Yeah, that'd be good. Stay there if you will. We'll have a chat off air. Thank you, Tiff.
Thank you, Eric. That was awesome. My face hurts from laughing.
Good. Thank you, Tiff.
And you don't look a day over 38, even with those laugh lines. Shut up. Thanks, everyone. Love you. See ya.